He still wears it. If you see him Chorn, he's always wearing this dumb hat. It's like this really goofy trucker hat that says Con Air on it, like the movie Con Air,
Oh my God.
with Nicolas
Nick Cage.
Nick Cage.
Nick
He loves Nick
Cage.
Cage.
Gather round while we relive all the twists, turns, and curves of our early adult life. We are entering a magical wonderland of ignorant bliss and carefree spontaneity. It is here that we found our place in the world, but inevitably lost it again as the earth continued to shake beneath our feet. These are your stories. Welcome to the Real 20s podcast. Hi, friends and random listening strangers who I hope will soon be friends. I am your host, Katrina, and I hope your new year is going so smoothly, much like my freshly deep conditioned hair. I finally got it done after about 6 months, and when the stylist went to lighten it, it turned pink. Thankfully, it's like a cute, dusty rose pink. It's still not my first choice, but what are you gonna do when a chemical reaction happens spontaneously on top of your head? I consulted Cassie, my hair mentor, and actually my guest from episode 1, who couldn't fully explain it either, but she agreed that it was a happy accident, so there you have it. You can now picture me just like Frenchie from Grease, beauty school dropout style, with the weird angels flying around and everything. I always thought Frenchie should have rocked that look anyway. It's really cute. My guest this week is definitely not a beauty school dropout. She is a reach for the stars kind of gal, constantly improving herself and the lives of those around her. Alex Tsuneta holds degrees in sociology and women's studies. She is a writer and activist, living nomadically with her husband and 2 dogs. Obviously, we talked about the dogs quite a bit because it's me and it's what I do. But we also covered so many bases, from self-love to RV renovation and getting to exactly where she is right here, right now, in today. Please stay tuned until the end of the interview, where you can learn about how to support her as a content creator, as well as how you can help keep this show sustainable. Thanks so much. Please enjoy.
So my name is Alex, or Yoni. Yoni is my Hebrew name, and I prefer it, but I also, like, I guess I don't really prefer it. I don't really mind either, but I think Yoni sounds nicer. And my pronouns are she, her, hers. I'm like your typical Capricorn, so I've got like 1,000 things going at once. I'm currently working on a vegan tiny living cookbook to kind of make cooking in a rig easier for people, because a lot of people have issues cooking in their rigs, and I like food. I think it's also the process of writing that book is like a recovery process for me, because I had like a pretty severe eating disorder for over 20 years, and I am finding like more joy in cooking and eating. So that's been the thing. I'm also working on rewriting a series of my personal essays that I publish on Medium. I write on Medium. I'm one of their top writers, and so I write on Medium, and I'm working on rewriting some of my earlier essays to put out like a feminist essay book. And then I'm trying to kind of set myself and my family up for life on the road in 6 months, because we're currently stationary, parked like for the winter, but in June we'll be on the road again. So I've been freelancing a lot, so that I have a lot of freelance work like under my belt, so that when we are on the road, I have work that I can make money with, because right now I'm making the majority of my money working in Virginia. And once I leave Virginia, I will officially not have a job.
That's pretty incredible that you're finding so much opportunity out there, because I know that's one of people's biggest hangups is like, but how am I going to make money? And you're like, actually, there are ways. There are so many ways.
Yeah, I mean, the opportunities are kind of endless. Like my gig in Virginia is pretty unique. I work for a family. I was their nanny in my mid-20s, which this podcast kind of coincides with. I was their nanny in my mid-20s.
Full circle.
Yeah, full circle. Here we go. And I stayed really close with this family, essentially. And when the mom, who I'm really close with, found out that I was going to be like nomadic, and when COVID hit and the kids were no longer allowed to like be in school, she was like, hey, will you come out here and like teach my children for the school year? So I'm out here essentially like teaching her children for this through the school year through June, and then we will be back on the road again. And so I am like a textbook overthinker. So while I'm working like 9-hour days here, I'm like, well, what about in 6 months? What can I do to create income for myself? And so I'm constantly like just trying to make money, which I also am trying to kind of get out of that capitalism mindset, because that's the whole reason why I live in a van, is anti-capitalist mindset. But at the same time, if I'm not working, I'm like scared of like failing my family, which is a thing I'm reckoning with.
I have also been trying to break myself of the idea of like capitalizing on your own joy. Yeah, I thought it was really cool how you had started preaching that to people and started introducing that idea, because it's like so glorified and it's so backwards. Yeah. How it doesn't make any sense. Why yeah, is that
it's,
way?
It's wild. It's I know exactly what you're talking about, and I know like that moment like fucked me up a little bit, because
yeah, like any of your hobbies, how your first instinct is to like, how can I just make money off of this?
Yeah, for sure. 100%. Like that is something that I am like actively every single day I have to stop myself, because I mean, fuck, dude, like when that was a big eye opener for me, when I was like, oh well, I really like wild foraging, and I like dried bouquets, and I like drying herbs and shit, and I'm learning more about that. And when we're on the road, like I can get stuff from other places, and oh, I could forge this, and I could make candles, or I could make oil, or whatever the fuck. I was drying out. I had spent my summer at my brick and mortar home, like in Washington, gardening, and I had created this like incredible garden. Like it was huge, and I had food for like the whole summer, and I had all these herbs, and I had spent so much time drying them. And yeah, I was like, oh, I could totally like make a business out of this and fucking like sell this shit on the road. And I had to seriously like take a step back and be like, why can't I just do something out of like just joy of doing it, instead of being like, wow, I could do this and like just make money off of it.
And then eventually end up hating it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like that's like a really big trend in my life, going full circle to my 20s. In my like super late teens, early 20s, I went to art school, and I've always been really passionate about music and photography. And I was like, oh, I want to be a band photographer. Like I want to travel and go on tour and shoot bands, and this is what I want to do. So I went to school and I got a degree in photography, and I worked for a few hip-hop record labels, and like I shot all the bands that I wanted to shoot, and like got to meet some of my idols. Yeah, I got burnt out in like 2 years, and I was like, I hate music and I hate photography and I don't want to do any of this anymore, because it like made like going to shows, which was like my favorite thing to do in my 20s, was go to shows, it made it like work, and I couldn't even enjoy like watching music. I was like, okay, I have to be working right now. I can't even enjoy seeing my favorite band.
That's so
like,
sad.
Yeah, I mean, like at the time, I think I was really, really, really into atmosphere. And I was like shooting atmosphere and idea and abilities I was shooting these two, this show, and I was so stoked to like be able to work at the show. And I remember just being like, fuck, this like is ruining my experience because I can't just sit there and like enjoy this music. I have to like get these shots. And I ended up just being like, I don't want to do this. And I like gave away my digital camera and just started shooting film for fun, because that's what I initially wanted to do, was just shoot film and have a good time with it. And so throughout my 20s, I really got like passionate about shooting film photography, and I never made a dime off of it because I got burnt out by like 21. I was like, I'm done now. Like, I don't want to be a fan photographer. Like, and I switched my whole like trajectory because I was like, shooting music sucks. It makes it like boring and sad. And like, I want to be able to just enjoy going to shows. And I think that was like my first like experience of being like, I don't need to capitalize on this. Like, I just need to enjoy what I enjoy doing instead of like do it so that I can make money off of it. And that was before, you know, I'm old. That was before people were like talking about it. It was before Instagram. It was before people were talking about anti-capitalism. Yeah. And I didn't even know like the term anti-capitalism, but I was just like, I don't want to like do this anymore and make money off of this. I just want to like do it too, because I enjoy doing it. But it's definitely like followed me throughout my life, me being like really poor and then being like, I could make money off of my joy.
Yeah, it's a trap.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely it's a trap. Don't do that.
You're living a nomadic lifestyle right now. You're obviously parked at the moment, and you have a great setup where you've got a spot for the winter. But this is a recent development in your life, and you probably didn't even have the thought of doing this in the way that you're practicing it right now in your 20s. I've heard that you moved around a lot. So where did you live when in your early 20s, and what major events happened then?
I always wanted to be a nomad, actually. It just so happens that I'm in my 30s and now I live in a van. But my like whole goal throughout my entire like early 20s was that I wanted to buy a sailboat and live on a boat.
A boat is so romantic.
I still want to do it. Like once I don't have dogs, and I can adopt some like Mexican street dogs that, nice, you know, can swim really well, because my dogs are not swimmers. Well, Bert can swim, but he has messed up legs. But I wanted to live on a boat and travel and live like that. And I still think that will be in my future eventually. But yeah, I was really nomadic. Going like a little bit deeper, I was homeless by the time I was 12 years old. So I kind of had to move around, like out of necessity and the ability to live. I was kicked out of my house when I was 12 for being gay. And so I was like living all around Florida. I was born in Florida, so I was living all around Florida. I lived in like from ages 12 to 18, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Orlando, Winter Park, Fort Myers, Tampa, like just all throughout Florida. And then I moved to Jersey, and then I moved to New York, and then I moved back to Florida. I lived in Chicago briefly, California briefly, back to Florida again. I spent some time in Israel, and then I settled in Oregon. And I settled in Oregon for 10 years before I moved to Washington, and I lasted in Washington for about a year, and now I live in a van.
Now I live in a van.
Yeah.
So you live in dope, sick ass, perfect, cozy little van.
I love my van. I definitely am really proud of the work that I did on it. But yeah, I've always been really nomadic, and aside from like living in different places, I traveled a lot as well. But
how did you get around? What was your preferred method of travel?
You know, honestly, like I don't want to preach to anybody to do what I did.
Disclaimer.
Now, just disclaimer, like I truly was poor. Like I was homeless by 12. Like I had my first job by 14. I was delivering subs on a bike for like this sub shop in Hollywood, Florida. Like I hitched rides, I planes, trains, and buses. When I lived in Jersey, I pawned my Game Boy Color for a ticket to New York, and I ended up in New York with like a backpack on my back and nothing else. I didn't have a place to live. I was like homeless, and just so happens that like the first day I was there, I was like sitting in Union Square Park, and some guy who ended up not being a total fucking creep was like, "Yo, you look like you have had like a rough time. Do you need like a place to crash?" And I was like, "Yeah."
Do you have pretty good instincts about people?
No, I truly don't. I truly do not have good instincts about people. And I think we can go into that in a little while. But I'm a really bad judge of character, to be completely honest with you. But I was like dumb, and I was like 21 or 20 or maybe even like 19. I don't even remember. I have a really bad like concept of time. But this dude was like just really nice. His name's Terevan. He's really great. I still know him. Like, it's weird, but he was like, "Do you by chance know how to like care for dogs?" And I was like, "Yeah, I love dogs."
You're like,
"Do I ever? I love dogs." And he was like, "Well, I have a spot he like pointed at a high rise by Union Square, and he was like, "My friend's letting me crash there. She's a comedian. She's on tour. She left me with her two dogs, and I have no idea what I'm doing." He was like, "I won't be creepy, but if you want to like crash there, and I like and take care of those dogs, and like we have to share the space because it's a studio because it's New York." He was like, "I won't be weird. Like, I just need help. I don't know what to do with these fucking dogs." And so I ended up just like taking care of these dogs.
Like, what kind of dogs are they? I have to ask.
They were mutts. They were like mutts. They were definitely like, one of them was definitely a black lab mix, and the other one was a pit bull mix. And I wish I could tell you their names, but it was so long ago. But mm-hmm. I did just end up taking care of these dogs and like crashing at this dude's friend's apartment for a little while, and then things, you know, went to a different apartment. And the people I met in New York and like the places I stayed at in New York, I definitely like formed bonds for life. And like I'm in Virginia now, and on our way back, one of my really good friends who I also crashed with in New York, who I met in New York, he lives in Erie, Pennsylvania, and we'll be going to like see him on our way out of Virginia, because it's like the first time I've been on the East Coast for a long period of time that I can actually like go and see him. And it's so wild because he's married with two kids, and I'm like married with two dogs living in a van, and like it's just weird how our trajectories, we have known each other for, you know, 12 years, and now we haven't seen each other in so long, and now we're finally going to be able to like meet, which is the glory and the true joy of being nomadic, is that I have friends all over the country and all over the world, and this is definitely giving me the opportunity to like see those people, like the family that I'm working with. Even like I wasn't able to see them for a few years, and now I'm able to like live with them and like work with them, which is great. It's definitely like a blessing that I don't take for granted ever.
Yeah, that's so special. I mean, I have kind of lost touch with people that I've known over the years and have been close with, that live all over the country and all over the world. And I wish that I would have like maintained a lot of connections, because that really is such a special experience, like going to see somebody and then catching up after like your life has just
evolved
so much. So much transformation has happened between that time. And you get to bring your whole family unit with you.
Yeah, and my house. Like I can just like park in his driveway and spend a week just like touching base. I'm like almost like tearing up thinking about it.
That's so good.
I truly feel like it's like the thing that I'm most looking forward to in the next 6 months.
All the Chorin is worth it.
Oh my God. We just filmed a video on Chorin. We literally toured.
I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
Oh yeah, you're a patron. Oh my God. Our Chorin video is really funny too, because I feel like I've been really serious during this podcast, but I am the funniest human alive, and that's like a fact. And I have like a good like 10-minute video of me like working on the engine and teaching like basic like engine maintenance, but the whole time I'm just fucking up and I'm just like talking to myself like, did we do it right? No. But did we get it done? Yep, we sure did. I'm like pouring like antifreeze in, and I'm like, oh shit, let me make sure that this is actually antifreeze. Like, yeah, we toured all day yesterday. We got so much Chorin done. We filled our tank, we emptied our tank, we went to the store, we exercised Bert, I topped off all the fluids and the power steering fluid in the rig, did all the dishes, took out all the trash. Fuck
yeah, yeah. Do the dogs just watch you like, what the hell are you guys doing?
You know, it's so weird is our dogs like truly, I don't know what the deal is, if it's like tiny space thing because dogs are den animals or what, but our dogs have truly like come into their own. Like, I've had Barbara for almost 9 years, and Bert for 5, and they have never like gotten along better. They've never really behaved better. I mean, Bert's a piece of shit, but like they are doing really well in the van, and Barbara tends to like sleep through it, and Bert tends to be involved. So like if we are like filling our tank, which is this whole stupid process that you'll see soon because Eric's got to edit that video today, Bert will go with Eric. Like, so it's basically you've got to like walk up and down this hill 1,000 times, and I'm like, fuck that, I'm not doing that shit. So Eric does it and Bert just follows him, and Bert loves to be involved with like the process of Chorin, and he'll just like be running around the yard doing
That's
zoomies.
So cute. Oh,
yeah. And Barbara's Bert. Just like, y'all need to stop.
Barbara has chill.
Barbara's the chillest dog and Bert has zero chill. They are the complete polar opposites of each other, these two dogs. I feel like Barbara truly developed one half of my personality. And Bert developed the other half. So,
definitely see
myself in these dogs.
Were you in your like mid-20s? Like, where were you in life when you got Barbara?
Oh, that's such a sad story. I was 22. I had a pug before Barbara, named Lindsay, and I adopted her when I was 18. And when I was 22, she died. And essentially, it was the responsibility of one person. And he gave me Barbara like 4 days after my pug died. And I'm like still not over it. Like, it's been like almost 9 years, and I still like cry about that dog. Like, one of the things that I haven't talked about at all on social media, and I haven't told anybody like at all, mm-hmm. is that I actually took her, I have her ashes in the rig.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the ashes of my other dog Ron in the rig, and mm-hmm. Everywhere we go, we like scatter their ashes. And oh, I'm like using it it's really sad. Oh. But it's like I've had Lindsay's ashes for 9 years and Ron's for 5, and I don't know, I wouldn't want to be in a box like on someone's mantle. So everywhere we go, we take like a moment, and Eric never met either of these dogs, but I talk about Ronnie, and I always smile and laugh and like just have a great time reflecting on how Ron would react to the situation that we're in or where we are. And then it gets really sad because I'm just like, Lindsay, like, I have like a big cry, because it's like hard for me to part with her, even though it's just like this physical, like, it's just dried up, burnt up bones. Like, it's just a weird thing. I just can't, like, it's hard for me to part with her. And I never will. Like, she'll always be a part of me.
We spend like eras of our lives, like, deeply connected to these animals. And so it really is just a piece of you, you know?
Yeah. She is one of the defining moments of my 20s. I had just a really, like, really rough upbringing. And so the moment I turned 18, I adopted her, and she became, it's hard for me to talk about. She became like a really, she became my only like constant, like stable thing in my life. Mm-hmm. And I relied on her more than like anything else. And I put like all of myself into her, and I like learned how to care for myself and another being through that dog. And I learned how to like trust something through that dog. And I learned how to like not be scared and not be alone, and like how to like rely on something. So when she died, I had a good 2-year period where I was just gone. Like I just wasn't, I had Barbara, but I like wasn't a good dog mom. Like I just wasn't even myself. I was really heavily medicated at the time, because when I lost her, it was like pulling out like the one fabric of my life that tethered me. And like, I didn't know what to do anymore. I was like, I grew into a formed human. And then most of me was ripped out from underneath me in this really brutal way. And so I spent years recovering from that. And a couple years later, my mom died. And I always say like, it wasn't even like nearly like the same experience. Like the Lindsay dying was the turning point in my life of like what I think defines me as a human being, which is really weird, but she was like my whole life. She's, if you ever see pictures of me, she's like the big giant tattoo of a dog on my leg. That's yeah. Lindsay. Oh. And I don't really talk about her that much just because it is like a super tragic story. But then I got Barbara, and I didn't want her. I was like, my dog just died. God. Why are you giving me this puppy? You killed my dog. I would feel the same way. Yeah, I was like, I don't have the ability to care for this. And I had, right before Lindsay died, like a month beforehand, I had adopted another dog to be Lindsay's friend, Hank. And
Hank Hill.
And Hank Williams. And
oh, okay.
And I was like, fuck, dude, like I have 2 dogs, and like I'm not okay. Like I can't do this, like I can't take care of these dogs. And I ended up giving Hank to my boyfriend at the time, because I was just like, I can't care for another thing. And my 2 roommates at the time like really helped me take care of Barbara, because I was like, I don't know, like I can't even like wake up in the morning, like I can't function at all as a human being anymore, because I had lost this thing. And it was like so tragic to me. I had become so tethered to this animal. And I always said, like, I like, when she dies, I want to go with her. And I'm alive now, 9 years later, like still missing her. But Barbara,
just looking at my dog tearing up so heavily.
I know. You know, I wrote an article about this, and I'll send it to you. And it's definitely, okay, it's like my most popular essay that I've ever written. It made me the most money I've ever made on a piece of writing. And it's about all dogs, but it'll definitely make you cry if you're a dog person. But I do like place a lot of, I think Barbara is a lot of the reason why I'm alive today, because I definitely like loved again, you know, like I never said I would, I was like, I'll never love anything like I love that dog ever. And then I had 2 really bad years. And I kind of came out of it and I was like, fuck, I love this goblin. And she's the polar opposite of what Lindsay was. Like, Lindsay was just like such a good dog in every way. And Barbara's kind of like just a farty, smelly,
she's a good little goblin.
She is truly a goblin. Like, she's really crotchety and like very much like a diva. She's kind of aggressive. She doesn't like other dogs. Like, she's kind of like a problem child. And I was like, fuck yeah, like you're something else, man. I'm really, really attached to her. And it took me a couple of years, and I always felt like so much guilt because I didn't grow attached to her like I did with my first dog. My first dog that was my own. I grew up with dogs, but Lindsay was my first, like, my dog. I didn't grow attached to her as fast. Lindsay, I was, like, attached to her at the hip. Like, immediately upon meeting her, I was like, this is my soulmate. Like, I will die with you. Like, yeah. And Barbara, it took me a few years because I was so like heartbroken. And I didn't know what love was, you know, like I never fully formed like an understanding of love as a child or anything. And Lindsay was the first thing I truly loved. And so, after about 2 years in like a really dark place, I came out of it like, wow, I still kept you alive and you're here. And you're like the weirdest, craziest, crotchetiest like dog I've ever met. Like when I wake up in the morning, she walks up and sneezes on my face, and if I don't get up fast enough to feed her, she'll start biting my toes, and she's just like a goblin.
Oh my
like
god, just,
she makes the craziest noises,
tiny little goblin.
Yeah, I'm like, she's like passed out next to me, and I'm just like, fuck yeah, I love her so much. I just like, I met Eric and I had these dogs, and he had never like had a dog before. Like his family is like a never? Cat family.
Oh my no god.
And he had never had one of his own. And now I don't think he could like imagine life without Barbara, because Barbara is just like, she's everything, man. She's such a thing. Like,
she's yeah,
just,
like,
she's just, she's, what's that movie?
She's a like, category of her own.
Yeah. She's transcended like being, what's that movie with the like little guys who you can't, like, if you get wet, they go crazy. Gremlins.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like just a little like,
how the hell did you end up with a dog like Bert then?
So it's a very similar situation, actually. My mom died when I was 24, maybe. I think I was 24. I was 24. My mom died when I was 24. Right after she died, like a month after she died, I was just like, I'm ready for another dog.
Yeah.
And I was looking, like every day I would just like look at ads or at the Humane Society, and I saw a picture of this dog, Ron, and I was like, fuck, that's the dog, like that's the dog, I gotta go get him now. And I like left the Humane Society in Portland, was like 2 minutes from my house, and I like was wearing like UGG boots and sweatpants, and I was mm-hmm. just like, gotta go get this dog.
You swooped him.
Yeah, I was like, this is the dog, I knew it, like I looked at him and I was like, this is the dog for me. And and I brought Barbara with me, and Barbara's, you know, such a dick, like she doesn't like anybody, but he came in the room and he stole my life. Like he was just the sun radiated off of this dog. He was the best. He was old and cool and amazing. I adopted this dog, Ron, and a year later he got cancer and died, and in a way really like healed me, and like helped me learn to not put like to put something before myself, like to not let like my pain of losing him overshadow the pain that he was in. And so I put him down, and about 4 days later, same thing with Lindsay, 4 days later, 4 days later somebody had contacted me, they found a dog, like this weird rescue mission backyard breeding thing, and they found Bert in like a dumpster, and he was really young. And they needed somebody to care for him. And I was fostering him and desperately trying to get rid of him. Because I was like, you suck. You're the worst. I don't want you. I was like, I want Ron. I want an old man dog. I don't want this like crazy, just insane puppy who never grew out of it. I ended up just being like, if I don't keep this dog, he will end up in like a horrible situation. He'll end up being like, somebody will like fight him, or like he'll just end up in shelters and out of shelters his entire life because he's like such a high maintenance animal, or just something bad will happen to him. And so about like 6 months in, after like a few attempts of being like, somebody please take this dog, I was like, I just gotta like
your future.
I was like, I gotta devote my life to you, man. He got parvo.
Died.
He was really sickly when I got him.
Poor baby.
And so annoying and so stupid. He really never grew out of it. And he was really sickly. And so when he got parvo, I was like, fuck. Like, my mom turned on and I was like, I gotta keep this dog. and a couple, like a month after that, I was like, okay, like, I actually do have to like devote my life to this dog, because if I don't, Bert's really like the hardest dog I've ever owned. He's really high maintenance. He's really high energy. He's allergic to everything. He's got two bunk back legs. He broke both of his legs when he was 2 years old, and has two false knees. Like, he's just, everything bad that could happen to this dog happened to him. And he's also the most needy dog I've ever met in my life. And so I was like, I just gotta keep him.
Yeah.
And I kept him.
He's yours now.
I'll keep him till he dies, because I don't think anybody else wants him.
Well, you have such a cute little perfect family. And I mean perfect in that you guys just, you love each other so much, and it's so adorable. And you exist, much like I do, in a very, very small space together. And so I know what that's like, and it takes true commitment.
It is, it's wild. But yeah, I mean, the dogs really, my biggest fear going into this was like, how can I, like, I don't know, like, provide their needs for them? And is it like, a lot of people, I think, are like really judgy about people that live in like a van or in a small space with their dog.
Oh yeah.
With cats, people are like, fuck it, who cares, it's a cat. But like, it's like, cats shit in your house, so I don't know, whatever.
Yeah,
but
it's like a closed system.
Yeah, exactly. Like, at least my dog like shits outside, thank you very much. But I think people are really judgy, because they're like, well, it's cruel to keep a dog that big in a space so small. And I'm like, motherfucker, like, this dog gets more exercise now than he's gotten his entire life. Like, I just posted that reel today of just like him enjoying himself coast to coast. Like, he is outside all day, he's running around all day,
living his best life. Time.
And they really adapted to this life like in such a positive way. Like, they did not get along before this. Barbara, like I said, is really crotchety and she hated him. Now they cuddle and they get along, and there hasn't been a scuffle since we've been in here. And I think it's just because they're den animals, man. They just like being in a smaller space. And as long as you provide them with like their needs, like their needs are being met, their energetic needs and their social needs are being met, I think that this is a much more like authentic life for them, just like it is for me. Like, it's more authentic to live this way than it was to live like in a big old house with running two businesses and, you know, doing all that.
You kind of started building your way into this stability probably into your later years of your 20s, but with so much instability happening earlier on in your life, do you feel any like redeeming, or do you feel like, I don't know, peace in what you've created, like the type of lifestyle you've created for yourself right now?
Yeah. I was really, really, really poor until I was about 24. And then I started working. I was a webcam model, and I was making a lot of money doing like sex work, stuff like that. And like, I was a webcam model for like a few years, because I needed to make a lot of money really fast.
Yeah.
Because my mom got really sick and she needed to have all of her bills paid. She's the most irresponsible person in the world. Like, love her. But Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
She's so irresponsible. She wrote her will on Dale Earnhardt paper and like shoved it in a book.
God,
like, I found it,
dude,
after she died. Like, she was sick. Like, she was actually like really cool.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But when she got sick, I was working like three jobs, and I was like, I gotta make money, and I gotta make money fast. Like, I need to make like a bunch of money, because I had to put her through hospice care. I had to put her through chemo. I had to pay her rent. I had to pay her bills. So I was like, all right, how can I do this? And this girl I knew at the time, Grace, was doing webcam modeling work. And it was before everybody else was doing it. It was before like OnlyFans and all this shit.
Sure.
And I was like, all right, yeah, I'll try it out. And I ended up doing the weirdest shit, like because I don't feel like I'm like a sexy person. So I was like, I'm not gonna make money being like sexy, so I gotta do some weird shit. So I was like, had this like full custom made Ewok outfit that I had made for myself and Lindsay, and I would like wear that on camera and give people life advice and like,
oh hell yeah.
I would like have movie nights, like lip sync nights.
So good.
I would just be really weird and like make a living just being strange. And I made like my first bunch of money that way. And then I, when my mom died, one of my regulars, my camming regulars, was like, hey, I know your mom just died, and I know that you got into this because your mom was dying.
Mm-hmm.
And you're probably exhausted. Do you want to, like, can you code, and do you want to start working with me? And I was like, yes and yes, because I had taught myself to code. And so we started a business together, and I ran that business from when I was like, or we ran it together from when I was about 25 to when I was 30. We like shut down because of COVID. We just decided we weren't going to do it anymore. And during like a year before that happened, I started Vintage Vending, which was my vending machine company, where I was like selling weird shit out of vending machines. And then I sold that business. And then that's when I started living in a van, was when I was 29, 30. Yeah, so that was the end of my 20s, and I sold both of my businesses. And yeah, I do feel like I hate the word hustler. I think it's a really stupid word, and I used to wear it as like a badge of honor, but then I learned hustler means, yeah, and everybody does. Everybody's like, I hustle and I work so hard. You know what hustle means? I looked up the definition. It means to be forced unceremoniously in an unspecified direction. And I feel like that is the most, like, the definition of capitalism is like just working to work and work and work and not enjoy yourself and like your life. And
yeah, that's not something that I would brag about, like knowing that definition. It's not something like, I love doing shit like without getting reward. And
it's so much fun to like devote your life to work. I love that. Love that for me.
Or like people that brag about, the biggest things for me that I've seen are people that brag about like never getting any sleep and like, only surviving on caffeine.
That was me. Like throughout my entire 20s, I was like, I don't know what sleep is. I ran another business. I ran like a clothing company for a while that was really popular.
Yeah, that's actually when I like found you on the internet was...
That was when you were like, you have a good judge of character. I was like, nope. that's the right. You've been following me since then. You've known me since, wow, so you've followed me through my 20s.
This sounds so weird, but like, you know how you just kind of relate to people that you see on social media? And so when you like started dating Eric, I was like, oh my god, they're so fucking entertaining and funny, and like, but not just like beyond that, like your so like dumb, educational tools and stuff. It's I just really respect that. And so
there's definitely a juxtaposition between us being like fucking idiots and then also being like very like intelligent people.
You gotta live but like
but no, Eric is the best moment of my 20s. It's been a wild ride. That was the bad time when I ran that clothing company. Fuck that. Fuck that person. But that is how I met Eric. I met Eric through that person, and I got really lucky. I think we both got pretty fucking lucky meeting each other, and that's a wild story. People love to like ask about us because I think that people are truly like entertained by our relationship, which is so funny to me because it's such a it was such a natural
chemistry.
Yeah, like we met and immediately we're like, yo, I'm gonna marry you. Like me, like legit the day that we met, it was we've never really said like the whole weird, like super weird way that we ended up like bonding.
I did see some video the other day of you shaving his mustache in a bathtub.
I did shave his mustache in the bathtub. Yeah, I told him that I wasn't gonna commit to being his girlfriend unless I fucking shaved his mustache.
Oh my god! Horrible. Hell yeah! And
we met. he was like, "I don't care." He was like, "I'll never have a mustache again." But we met. We like it's so funny because we moved to Portland at the same exact time, 10 years prior to meeting each other. We both worked at Whole Foods prior to meeting each other. We both went to the same bars prior to meeting each other. Like, we had mutual friends. His hairdresser was my hairdresser. We had a bunch of mutual friends and we never met each other. And then I went to a book reading. I went to Samantha Irby, who is a shout out Sam Irby, to buy her books. She's so funny. She is the funniest person alive. I went to see Samantha Irby read excerpts from her new book. Then that person, that bad guy, was having a book reading at their shop, and my friend at the time and I were like, well, let's go check it out after this other book reading. How nerdy. Like, we were like, if we went to a book reading, let's go to another.
Yeah, it's so Portland too, like the bookshops are like a whole stupid culture.
Yeah, it was at Powell's, by the way. Powell's
on Broadway. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But then we went to this other place and I had done some part-time work there, and that's how I got involved with that person. And Eric was like sitting at the desk that I usually sat at, and I was like, what are you doing sitting at my desk? Like, get away from my desk.
And Eric, who are you?
I was like, who are you? And he wasn't like, I was not attracted to him. He was wearing like this really goofy, like, he still wears it. If you see him chorn, he's always wearing this dumb hat. It's like this really goofy trucker hat that says Con Air on it. Like the movie Con Air.
Oh my God.
With
Nick Cage.
He loves Nick Cage. He was wearing that. He had this huge mustache, like, and I think he was wearing like an ASAP Rocky shirt with like a huge belt buckle. Like, I don't know. He just looked like somebody whose like brother like gave them all of like their clothes and they didn't all fit, and his hair was growing out and it was like just a mess. And I was like, get out of my seat.
Eric, you've come so far.
He's so beautiful. But I was like, get out of my fucking seat. Like, what are you doing in here? And then we ended up like immediately being drawn to each other. Like, I like walked directly up to him, which is very unlike me because I'm not very like, I'm a very introverted person. And I was like, who are you? Why are you here? What's up? Can I pluck your eyebrows? They're a mess. And I plucked his eyebrows. And at some point, I ended up like going through my purse to like, at some point I was going through my purse and I like had like a bunch of like Skittles and like loose pills and numbing cream and gloves, like latex gloves.
Nice.
And a bunch of just weird shit in my purse. And he was like, who are you and why is this happening? And I had
explain
really
yourself
for all of it. Like, I had a very good reason for all of it. I had the latex gloves and the numbing cream because I get tattooed a lot and I numb myself because I'm a baby.
You gotta be ready at any moment.
Yeah. And same thing with the Skittles. I had a bunch of Skittles because I get tired and like I get tattooed all the time. So I'm like, I need to have some snacks. And also I'm like medicated. I have depression. So whatever. My pills were at the bottom of my purse. Anyways, he was just like, you're the weirdest person I've ever met. And I was like, you're the weirdest person I've ever met.
And you're both like, I like it.
Yeah. And we were both literally like, we went home with each other. Like, we didn't fuck. It wasn't like that. We just like hung out. And then I think like a week later, we were like, I think we should get married. Like, I love you. And this is like, we should probably be together now. And then like, yeah, 5-6 months later, we got married. I never really knew like how to love somebody or what love was before I met Eric. I've been in a lot of relationships and they were all kind of shitty, and then I met Eric and I was like, wow, this is so easy. And like, we've been together for like 3 years, maybe 4 years, I don't know. I have a really bad trajectory, like time, like understanding of time. For some reason my brain just like doesn't get time. But we've been together for a while now, and we still just like never fight. Like, we are really empathetic with each other. Like, we really listen to each other. Like, I'm more myself than I think I've ever been in my life. I can like be as weird as I want. He is a freak.
Just two freaks living in a van.
And we really balance each other out, because like, while I panic all day about like what's going to happen 6 months from now, he's just like, yo, it'll be cool. Yeah, just two freaks with two real strange dogs living in a van, being happy and in love.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to seeing you guys head back on the road, and I'm sure you're looking forward to that too. I won't keep you any longer, but can you tell all of our listeners where to find you on social media and how they can support the very important work that you guys are doing?
You can follow us on Instagram at Goof Troopers with a Z. I did not know that that was a cartoon, by the way. Everybody, somebody told us afterwards, they were like, oh, I love that cartoon. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I just made that up because I thought we were really
goofy. You never people saw and we were, like, on the road. Goofy?
No.
Interesting.
I didn't really have a childhood. Like, it was pretty dark.
Yeah. So, it's fine. You're not missing out on much. Disney sucks.
Yeah, I never saw any Disney. I don't know any Disney movies. So anyways, you can follow us on Instagram at Goof Troopers. We have a Patreon. We have a podcast that's currently on hold, but there are really a lot of cool interviews to listen to on our podcast. And you can find all that information on our Instagram, because we got a link in our bio that you can click on, and you can literally find out anything you want to find out about us. Also, if you want to like subscribe to our Patreon, shameless plug, we do how-to videos. And also, I've said it once and I will say it again, we are very funny. And therefore, you should support us and our funny times.
Yes, but that's I am a patron of Goof Troopers, and I promise you the content is worth it, especially if you live or are planning to ever live nomadically, or if you have a desire to do any RV renovation, because they package it all very nicely and very well so that you don't have to rely on dumbass YouTubers.
Yeah, also we will help you do it. Like, I think the reason why the thing about the Patreon is that like I was like mentoring two different people on how to build their rigs, and they were like, how do I do this, how do I do that, how do I do this? And I was like, well, let me just start making you videos so like you can learn. And I was making them like not good videos, like the ones you see on, you know, the Patreon. I was like recording for them on my phone and like texting them and FaceTiming them and being like, this is how you should do this and this is how you should do that. And then I was like, fuck this shit, like I'm just gonna start a Patreon so that like you guys can request me to make you a video on how to like build a table. Like, I will make you a video and build a table. What I will do with that table, I don't know, but I will make you a video for you to learn how to build a table. And I think that's like the whole thing, is that I want to help people like live nomadically. And if I can do that, then I'm going to do it. So if you do follow us on Patreon or on Instagram and you have any like RV renovation questions, like I will help you. I will make you videos. I will give you my personal phone number. You can text me, and I'll like help you do what you want to do, because it's fun and I really like building things and doing renovation.
Well, enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you so much for joining me.
Okay, I will see you on the internet. Bye.
Okay, bye.
I love it. I Joseph Gordon love it. I texted that to one of my friends the other day, and her response was, are you drunk? So that's how unfunny my friends think I am. But Alex is hilarious, and I am a personal supporter of hers, because I think that many aspects of what she does are really important. If you happen to feel the same way about me or this podcast, maybe some stories you hear help you through a difficult day or make you feel like you're not alone in what you're experiencing, consider supporting the show by becoming a patron on Patreon. There are a list of tiers, And you can find out more information at www.patreon.com/real20s, just like the show, R-E-E-L. You can also support me by following me on Instagram, giving this podcast a 5-star review, commenting, liking, sharing the show. It's as easy as a link. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you all on the next episode. Mwah! Fran Drescher kiss. Mwah, mwah. Oh, there's Morrissey.
He gotta have some. Right under the microphone.
Yeah. Okay. I'll pause my thoughts.
He gotta get some water.
Got your treat, dude.
Now he's gotta cough up his water,
as one does.